Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Now, last week, after an effort had asked the HSE to examine whether or not they would be capable of operating the COVID-19 vaccination centres 24-7, the Minister of Health, Stephen Donnelly, responded by saying that there's currently no need to run the centres 24 hours a day. But what is it like to be working at one of these centres? Well, Mary O'Brien is a retired nurse and is now a vaccinator at the Nina Vaccination Centre. That's just beside the Abbey Court Hotel in Nina. And Mary joins me now. Good morning to you, Mary.
Good morning.
And lovely to talk to you today. Are people generally happy to be receiving the vaccine, Mary?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they are. They're very, very happy in general, I find. They actually can't wait to get it. There's a great buzz around the place. You know, the team are very happy and the people coming in, they actually, you know, some of them are nervous because they're nervous of the needles and how it applies to any vaccine. And some can express concerns. But the most important thing for us is that to give them time to be kind, to have a laugh. And I really find a kind word, a laugh and a vaccine, makes most people happy. You know, they see it that they're on their journey now to meet their relatives, to meet their siblings, that they will be able to hug them. You know, so much has been left on hold. They haven't been living their lives. And this is their opportunity now to start living again. So, yeah, they're very happy, generally speaking, I find.
Can you take us through the procedure, Mary? I mean, when somebody presents themselves at the vaccination centre, what actually happens?
Yeah, well, when they come into the Abbey Court, it's both important to say that the entrance is at the back of the hotel, and that the air code is E45KA99, and the entrance is at the Lytle entrance.
Is that at the car park that was at the back of the hotel? Is that where?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah, so to be the Lytle entrance, so it's not the front entrance there. Mm-hmm. So they're met by the friendly car park attendants, and they will guide them to their park space. And generally, then they wait in their car till the appointed time so that you won't have a queue.
Mm-hmm.
There's a COVID screening then performed before you enter the centre. And then you have an ID check, and this is where you'll need your passport or your driving licence or your PPS card.
Mm-hmm.
And that's used to identify the person who is on the scheduled vaccination list.
Right.
Then you're guided to the registration desk, and here you have your friendly registrations, and they will confirm your date of birth, your phone number, and your GP, and a consent as well.
Mm-hmm.
They'll also be given the user information leaflet along the journey. Then you're directed to your vaccination booth, and then you're welcomed by your vaccinator.
Mm.
So that's their first encounter with the vaccinator there. And you'll always know when a person comes in, you actually can see by their body language and know whether they're smiling or not.
Mm.
If they're worried or if they're concerned, you can actually pick it up straight away.
Right.
And the minute you see that, you know, we always introduce ourselves, they introduce themselves.
Mm.
But the minute you see anybody with a concern or a worry or a frown, you know, it is our job to say, is there anything you're worried about? Is there any concerns that you have? And immediately you break the ice. And from once they can voice their concerns and you listen to them, and you answer them.
Mm.
They settle and they relax.
And what are the frequent concerns that people might have?
A lot of people are just actually nervous of the needle itself.
Yes, of course.
And they're actually ashamed and embarrassed that they're nervous of it, actually. That's a huge concern. So immediately you tell them that this is quite normal and that you totally understand.
Mm.
And you will always distract them while you're giving it. Generally speaking, there hasn't been that much concern about the clots as much as I thought.
Mm.
But it may come up, you know, from the female group more so than the male group.
Right.
And again, you just ask them, what are they concerned about that? And you'll always, you know, go through, I suppose, with the statistics so that you give it in some context. So when you explain to them that, you know, if they are concerned about blood clots and low platelets, which has been making the news, and when you explain to them that it's very rare, that it's 4 to 10 per million, and you point it out to them on page 7 of their booklet, so that they can read it again. Because often they don't always hear what you say, so you may have to repeat it. And like when you go through the booklet with them, and I often would take them to page 7, and when you tell them that people aged 60 and older have 80 times the risk of dying from COVID-19 than getting a very serious rare blood clot after the vaccine, when you tell them that, it puts it in context. The benefit of getting the vaccine outweighs the risk.
Right. And does that allay their fears pretty much immediately then, Mary?
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Really does. You know what I mean? And, you know, I mean, also we know now that Professor Karina Butler, she's the chair of the NIAC, and she's actually published that, that, you know, as she said, that people 60 to 64, 80 times more likely to die from COVID-19 than to have a clotting event. And people aged 50 to 59 are 48 times more likely to die of COVID than get a blood clot. So it has, it's kind of about putting it in context for them.
Of course. Following the injection itself then, what is the procedure then? Because you have to supervise people for a little while. Is that the way it is?
Yeah, so then you would always go through the side effects with them. And I always tell them, you know, it's been they wait 15 minutes to 30 minutes, depending. So while they're waiting and you show them to the waiting area and they're observed there, I always say, read your booklet, particularly page 7 or 8.
Mm.
And I always say to them, you know, if you have any concerns at all, come back up to us. Don't leave, you know, with a worry in your mind. Come back up to us and we will answer and address it. So they wait for 15 minutes or 30 minutes, depending on their previous history.
Mm.
And they're observed there and then they're free to go. That's only just in case that there's any adverse reaction.
Yes.
It is a new vaccine, you know, and we have to be aware of that.
And which vaccine are you using at the moment?
We're using the AstraZeneca.
Okay, only AstraZeneca at the moment,
is it? That's in the vaccination centre now in the Abbey Court. They would be using more inside in the Radisson.
Okay.
We're using the AstraZeneca.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And are people turning up, Mary? I mean, are there any no-shows or how does that work?
Oh, yeah, there would be no-shows. And it's difficult to know why that would be.
Mm.
But we have to remember as well that in a lot of cases, people may be away, they may be in hospital. And in some cases then, depending on who's receiving the text message, is it the person themselves or is it whoever registered them?
Mm.
Don't actually know if they have actually got that message. You know, some people may not
read
their text messages, but they would always go back into the system and they would always be called again.
Right, they won't be left out.
Oh, gosh, no. No, it goes back into the central IT. They're rescheduled to the central IT system and they're rescheduled at the moment a couple of times.
If you have a number of no-shows, Mary, and if you're left with some vaccines at the end of the day, what happens then?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have kind of prepared for that. You always have your emergency list.
Okay.
And just have that done.
You make a phone call, is it?
Around 3 or 4 o'clock in the evening, you're pretty much able to gauge how many is left to come, how many vaccines are out and how many doses. So from kind of 3 or 4 o'clock on, you're already on top of that.
Very good.
So you're actually, you know, dealing with it before it happens. So we often would have 2 or 3 doses, and we'd know that beforehand.
Right.
And we would always have an emergency list, and you would ring them, and they would be available to come in 20 or 30 minutes.
Very good. And generally, are they happy to receive that phone call to say, look, we have this ready?
They'd be so excited.
A list that you're following from the HSE, is it?
That would be a list from the portal system,
Right, okay, right. Yeah. Okay, it's not a list that's informed locally to you or anything, is it? No.
Well, it would be on the portal system
just
for that area.
Okay.
So they would be within a radius of being able to come in.
At short notice, I guess.
Yeah. And you'd have that kind of done during the day as to, well, who will we put on the emergency list?
You've been a nurse for a lot of years. You've been retired and you decided to come back to do this. But we hear a lot about how complex that procedure is if you want to become a vaccinator. What was your experience of that, Mary?
Well, I suppose I hadn't retired that long. So I suppose I was fortunate in that it was very easy for me to get back into the system.
Right.
So I was still able to work within the HSC. But I mean, there has been, you know, controversy about the recruitment going through different areas.
Looking for the intercert results and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah, that has been mooted, all right. But now the HSC are working in collaboration with those agencies and they're certainly making the pathway easier. So it is being addressed and being resolved. So the HSC are working in close collaboration with those private agencies.
And do you need more people now as vaccinators?
Oh, yeah, we do. You see, there's a huge recruitment campaign now because now we're down to the 50 to 59-year age bracket.
Mm.
And there's a lot more of those cohorts in the country than 60 to 70-year-olds.
Okay.
And, anyone that's 50 now can register from today on. So, yes, and I mean, there's more vaccine available. There's more doses available.
Mm.
So we need an awful lot more vaccinators than we have. It's estimated, really, now we'll say in the Abbey Court, that we could do 1,500 per day. With 15 booths open and all vaccinators working 12-hour shifts.
Right.
So we would need 58 for whole-time equivalent to meet that target.
And how many are you vaccinating at the moment?
At the moment now, it has ramped up really in the last 4 to 5 days. with a 460 to 500 per day.
Right.
And we, you know, we'd be working it from a WTE of 27.24 at the moment. But if we need more, we need to double that.
Right. Well, what is a WTE?
A WTE is where you actually work 39 hours per week.
Okay.
And when I say to you at the moment that we have 27.24 whole-time equivalents, that probably means that we have 46 in the pool.
Okay.
So it's taken 46 vaccinators to make up that.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
But so if you had the proper numbers, you could do about 1,500 a day.
So we have a capacity to do 1,500 per day with 15 booths open and all vaccinators working 12-hour shifts. And right across the three sites, that would mean 6,000 a day across the three sites. That would be, you know, for the Radisson.
It's interesting. Well, we are going to have to ramp up things, so we need vaccinators. Can you advise people what to do what is the criteria? Just remind us again, Mary, to be a vaccinator.
Well, they just have to be on the registered list of the profession that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just have to contact the HSE, and I'll just leave you with that number now in a minute.
Okay.
But, and then there is a contact number. So there's a contact number that they can actually contact, and they will go through it with them.
Right.
And then they will take on an education program. So they're actually, you know, there is upskilling that are going on, and that can be face-to-face, and it can also be done online.
Mm.
And it's hugely important for them to know that when they come in, that they will be mentored on their first day, that there will be someone with them the whole day. Because if you're coming back to work, you can be quite nervous about it.
I can imagine. You've been vaccinating for a long time. Is this?
I started in January. Yeah.
No, but I mean just with your history as a nurse.
Oh yeah.
But is this a different style of vaccination, or is it?
The procedure of the injection technique is pretty much the same.
Right.
You
put that an awful lot better than I did. Exactly. That's exactly what I wanted to ask you. The procedure of it is different then, Mary, is it?
So the injection technique itself is the same. So
yes.
You're given an intramuscular injection in the deltoid muscle in the arm. That is the same. What, of course, the vaccinator has to learn is, well, you know, what is the dosage of the vaccine from that individual, the fragility of it, that the, you know, that the vial must always be upright. You have to be aware of that.
Right.
So that would be from that point of view there.
Very good.
Then you have to know the side effects of the vaccine that you're given. You have to be able to tell the person the side effects. You have to be able to tell them how to treat the side effects.
Okay.
You have to be able to tell them then, you know, sort of how the efficacy of the vaccine.
All right, so you have to have all of that as well.
You have, yeah.
How many doses per vial are you getting at the moment?
You can get 10 to 12 doses per vial.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, it depends. So you usually get about 10 to 11, yeah.
Mm. Okay.
They have built that into the vial.
Right, very good indeed.
Yeah.
Do go on, Mary.
I just wanted to give the number there for the recruitment.
Yes, please do.
I left it out. Is that okay?
Yes, please do.
So the phone number would be
061-588-590. Mm-hmm.
Or they can email vaccinatorsulhg@hse.ie.
Right.
Very good. That'd be great to get people on board.
Right.
You know, and it actually would have, it's very satisfying.
So, you know, former nurses, paramedics, pharmacists, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you have people that are working at the moment, and they might be just job sharing, and they might be able to do some, you know, something at a weekend. So you're looking at nurses, paramedics, EMTs, GPs, physiotherapists, and then people that are retired as well.
Right.
The safer to come back. Yeah, so the more we have, the more we'll get out.
Right.
And the safer our community will be. And I suppose that's the whole objective, isn't it, really?
Okay, and just from your own point of view, Mary, it's rewarding, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely is. Yeah.
Right.
You know, I just find sort of, you couldn't have a better job. You know, you come home there in the evening and you know that you've made a difference.
Right.
You know, I come home there and I'll be driving in the car and I think, you know, well, how many did I vaccinate today? And you go through the numbers depending on your shift. It could be 30, it could be 40, it could be 50.
Right.
And you know that you've actually made a difference because you have vaccinated that many people and they are preparing them to go back into living their life. So it's a very humbling experience
and
very rewarding.
Can I be very ungentlemanly and ask you, are you remunerated properly for this? Are you paid properly or how does that work?
Well, you know, I have to tell you, that would be the last thing on my mind.
Right.
You know, with a program like this, you know, that would be the very last thing on my mind.
But you do get paid, essentially.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I'm very happy. I'm quite content. I'm very, very happy.
Right.
But, you know, really, I suppose it's very difficult to create money with the privilege of being able to vaccinate your community and make it a safer place for people to live, and that people can start living when their lives have been put on hold. You know, I just find it difficult to create the money. Yeah, but people are remunerated and are treated very, very well. You know, there's a great camaraderie, there's great support. And, you know, so we are treated very well, yes.
Very good indeed. Well, listen, we wish you well, Mary, and thanks very much for coming on with us today. I'll just give out that phone number one more time. It's 061, it's 588-590, or vaccinator, sulhg at hse.ie. And we'll have that here with Doc if anybody needs it as well. Listen, really good to talk to you, Mary.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the wonderful job you're doing, Mary.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Gino. That's Nurse Mary O'Brien there, part of the vaccination team at the Abbey Court Hotel in Nina. It's 28 past nine right now.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.